If you go complaining to your mother, as you did with reference to the scorn of you I displayed in my letter to Robbie, so that she may flatter and soothe you back into self-complacency or conceit, you will be completely lost. If you find one false excuse for yourself, you will soon find 100 and be just what you were before. Do you still say, as you said to Robbie in your answer, that I attribute unworthy motives to you? Ah, you had no motives in life. You had appetites merely. A motive is an intellectual aim. That you were very young when our friendship began. Your defect was not that you knew so little about life, but that you knew so much. The morning dawn of boyhood, with its delicate bloom, its clear, pure light, its joy of innocence and expectation, you had left far behind. With very swift and running feet, you had passed from romance to realism. The gutter and the things that live in it had begun to fascinate you. That was the origin of the trouble in which you sought my aid, and I, so unwisely, according to the wisdom of this world, out of pity and kindness, gave it to you. You must read this letter right through, though each word may become to you as the fire or knife of the surgeon that makes the delicate flesh burn or bleed. Remember that the fool in the eyes of the gods and the fool in the eyes of man are very different. One who is entirely ignorant of the modes of art in its revolution, or the moods of thought in its progress, of the pomp of the Latin lion, or the richer music of the voweled Greek, of Tuscan sculpture or Elizabethan song, may yet be full of the very sweetest wisdom. The real fool, such as the gods mock or mar, is he who does not know himself. I was such a one too long. You have been such a one too long. Be so no more. Do not be afraid. The supreme vice is shallowness. Everything that is realized is right. Remember also that whatever is misery to you to read is still greater misery to me to set down. To you the unseen powers have been very good. They have permitted you to see the strange and tragic shapes of life as one sees shadows in a crystal. The head of Medusa that turns living men to stone, you have been allowed to look at in a mirror merely. You yourself have walked free among the flowers. From me, the beautiful world of colour and motion has been taken away. I will begin by telling you that I blame myself terribly. As I sit here in this dark cell in convict clothes, a disgraced and ruined man, I blame myself. In the perturbed and fitful nights of anguish, in the long, monotonous days of pain, it is myself.